All right, guys, thanks for joining the Hippocrats podcast. I am here with Savannah, also known as This Is Savvy.
Yay.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I am a huge fan, just to let you know. I probably have mentioned you on every podcast I've done, so hopefully you haven't listened to all of them and seen how crazy I am. So thank you so much for coming on here. You are a hard person to get a hold of.
I am.
I can't DM on TikTok, so trying to get hold of you in other ways was because I don't have my phone number linked after they banned my last device. It took my phone number with it, so I can't use that old phone number. So yeah, it's been fun. But I'm so happy you got a hold of me and that you're doing this. And it's the perfect time too, because you are like a celebrity now. So I get you after you get all the posts posted from your TikTok.
You get to be the first.
Have you done a podcast before?
I've never done a podcast.
Really?
Never.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for choosing me.
You've been hounding me. I feel like I owed you.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Like, when did you start TikTok?
I started TikTok. Okay, I feel like I was every grown person where I downloaded it kind of as a joke just to watch videos. Like July 2019.
Oh, so you've had it for a little while now.
Yeah, because I did youth ministry for a while and we were doing our summer youth thing and a bunch of my girls kept doing TikToks. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, you have to join TikTok, Sav. You have to join TikTok. I'm like, fine. And then, you know, fell down the rabbit hole. And I started making videos probably last January or February just to kind of try it out to see how I liked it. And I did like two little vlogging videos, but I didn't really keep up with it. And I decided to post a TikTok probably August of last year, just about New Orleans. Just like I was driving down New Orleans and I saw like five people run a red light. And I was like, I need help from New Orleans people to help me driving in this city. And I posted a video and that just kind of blew up.
Okay. I'm trying to think how many fans you had when I started following you. You had a few thousand, I believe.
I had, when you started following me, because it was the analogy with the door.
It was before that. It was quite a bit before that. I might have been following you for like a month already by the time you came up with the door analogy.
I had maybe like 18K.
Okay. Because I think I started following you almost 4 months ago.
Yeah, right about.
Yeah.
I had 18K. It was like 18K. It was like a slow crawl to 20K. I'm like, I just want to get to 20K. That's all I want. I just want 20K. Just so I can say I have 20K.
I predict you will hit 1 million in the next at least 2 months.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready?
I am not ready.
Would you be okay going verified? Because I'm sure they would verify you.
I'd be okay with being verified, especially since I have one person who's pretending to be me on TikTok that TikTok won't even respond to me about.
There's a few people I know. Conservative Ant is having the issue too, and he's trying to get them taken down, and they won't do it.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. Like, you, there's an option where I can report this person for pretending to be me, but you're not listening to me.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. You're so famous that people are pretending to be you. That's a new standard.
It's strange.
How did you feel when you first started hearing that people were posting your video on like prominent conservative sites like Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire?
Oh gosh. Goodness. So this is actually the third time I've gone viral in the last couple of months.
Okay.
So the first time was for the Eminem video, which I actually heard that from one of the kids I used to lead. He's like, why are you on my explore page on Instagram? I'm like, what are you talking about? And so that went viral. And then there was another video that went viral that was on Not the Bee. And then this past week, a friend of mine from Charlotte actually texted to me. She's like, you're famous. And I'm like, oh God, I've gone viral again. It'll pass in a couple of days. It's no big deal. And then she showed it to me and I saw Ben Shapiro on Facebook. I'm like, oh no.
That is awesome.
Like, oh God, oh gosh, I'm out there. I can't undo this. Here I am. Oh Lord, awesome. They know my name. They're saying my name. Okay.
Somebody sent me another video today. It wasn't the one that Ben Shapiro had in his article. It was a different one. And it was another conservative YouTuber. And I was like, man, so you are getting multiple videos out there.
I've had three or four go viral, old ones. I've had, I think one of my new ones went viral. The one about the girl who was calling people cultureless. That made the rounds. My roommate's like, hey, you're on Reddit. I'm like, no, I'm not. That's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. And then an old one from January that's made the rounds. And I found that. I saw someone did a YouTube video about that one.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, why?
You are just so easy to hear from. You're so simple. You're very soft, and the way you deliver is easy to understand. And a lot of people absolutely love that. So my girlfriend talks about you all the time. She's aww, like, God, I love Savvy. She is so amazing. Like the way she delivers her messages, and she is just so perfect at that. I'm like, I know. You're going places. You are very talented in that field. And I mean, I don't know what your plans are with this. Do you plan on making any career out of this? Like, I mean, if people wanted to start offering new jobs to do speeches, is that something you'd be interested in? Or are you a little shy when it comes to that?
I'm very shy. I'm very introverted.
Yeah.
I have no idea. That's the big question right now. Because I was hoping this would just kind of blow over after a few days. And it hasn't.
Well, the more followers you get, the more people that are going to keep seeing your stuff, the more people are going to share it, and you're stuck. You are stuck.
It's crazy because I'm not ungrateful. Like, I'm very appreciative, but I it's hard because I don't see me the way others see me. So, like what you said, I get that compliment from people all the time. It's like, your voice is so soft. I'm like, who are you talking about? I'm abrasive. And I'm very blunt. To me, I am very loud. And people are like, your voice is so soft, I can listen to you all day. Like, really?
Yeah, you do. You have a very soft voice. We will see how many people make it through this hour-long podcast without falling asleep. It's going to be interesting. I find it funny because you followed me pretty early in my political, like my first account, my political TikTok career, if you want to call it. Yeah. And it's funny because people always, whenever they tag me, you are always tagged with me. It's just you and me as well. It'll always be just Savvy and Hypocrites. It's like, they won't tag anybody else. It'll be just you two. It's like, why? Like, it's like, we must be siblings. We must be so comparable. We just look completely different, but we must have a very similar way of delivering a message. You're just way better at it.
No, because I remember I stumbled upon you on my For You page, and you were talking about, I think, Black Lives Matter, and it was just very sharp and straight to the point. I'm like, I like this dude, follow.
The first one I saw of you, it wasn't the door analogy, it was before that. I can't remember exactly what it was because it's been months now, but I was like, wow, she's really good at explaining this, like really simple. And
I don't see that either.
Yeah, you are. I tell everybody, like you could solve the world's problems if you have a door or glasses. Like, that's just like, I'm gonna challenge you. Start using a toothpick or something a little bit harder. Because yeah, you are just very good at describing things in a very simplistic manner that to make anybody understand, and that's what they really want. I did one video kind of like your style where I use chopsticks with my son.
Yeah.
And I think that people just like that. They like analogies that they can see it so simple. They don't have to really think. And
the glasses one was funny. That one took off. I did not expect that one at all. But I literally woke up. That was one of the first videos on my For You page. And I stood up, just sat up, looked in my room. And I was like, what can I use to explain what I want to say right now? And all I saw was like my doors and a blue wall. And I'm like, that'll work.
She did this half awake, guys.
Literally just woke up. I watched it. I just sat straight up.
This just shows your effort. You don't even need to try. I feel unworthy. So have your political views or your, I should call them almost common sense views, because I mean, you're just very common. You have no flaws in your logic, in my opinion. I mean, I don't see any, at least. I know you said we disagree on a few things that I do, which we could talk about later, but you're full of common sense. Have your views always been like that, or have they changed over time? Like, have they adapted, and have people like shown you were wrong and you kind of like just learned from it and changed, or have you always been like that?
I think I've always been that to a certain extent.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. back to when I was younger. So the only example I can think of, I remember being in the sixth grade and there were two kids in my class, Ryan and Courtney, and they were dating. And then we didn't see each other. School ended. We didn't see each other for the summer. I saw Ryan again later that day, the first day of seventh grade. And I asked him if he was still dating Courtney. He said, no, I got a new friend. I'm dating Jacqueline. I'm like, okay, great. Who's Jacqueline? And I just remember thinking, what was the point of dating Courtney? That makes no sense. Why would you waste your time? Why would you go from person to person? What sense does that make? I think I've always had this need to kind of find the logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does this make sense?
Yep. The puzzle pieces have to fit. Otherwise, you'll just, like, you must be a ponderer. I know I am. When I'm at work, all I do is ponder, and I try to make things make sense. And when I get home, that's typically right when I make my TikToks, because I'm trying to make sense of it at work, and then it makes sense, and I go home and I make a TikTok about it. And but I will just sit there and ponder the dumbest crap that I shouldn't be pondering, just to make it make sense. And for some reason, I see you being like that.
That's basically me in a nutshell.
Yeah,
it could be something simple, and I want to understand the details.
Mm-hmm.
I want to understand how all of this fits together to make whatever this is. What are all the intricacies?
Now, it is very hard for me to imagine people seeing you negatively, but I am sure you've gotten a lot of backlash because of your views. Like, is there anything that stands out to you that, like, you're just like, wow, like, I can't believe people are attacking me?
Honestly, no. It's nothing I haven't heard before. No? Hateful people are not creative. They're not. It's the same stuff over and over again. It's Negro, Uncle Tom, Oreo.
Yep. Very emotionally driven. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing new. I've been hearing the same stuff since I was like 12 years old. And so I know this comes from a place of ignorance. Mm-hmm. You've been told your entire life that because you're Black, you have to think in a certain way, that being Black means a certain thing. So when you see someone doing the thing that you were told Black people don't do, you don't know how to intelligently approach it. So you attack it. So, I mean, I've seen some hateful comments, but I haven't seen any that's actually original. It's all the same stuff. You're seeking white validation. You're a pick me. It's just, you know, nothing creative. If I saw something creative, I'd engage with it, but nothing yet.
It's kind of like the comments in general, you know, if there's people that aren't there's people that are like, oh, debate me. And it's like, well, what do you want to talk about? And then they'll just sit there and insult, and they won't bring up anything to actually talk about. And it's like, well, I thought you wanted to discuss this, you know, instead you're just trying to hurt my intelligence. You know, that's not what this is for. You know, if you want to come to a civil discussion, then talk to me. And people don't understand that the more they try to cut you down when you prove them wrong, it just makes them look that much worse. You know, they can try and say, oh, you only have a high school education. Well, it's like, well, then when I prove you wrong, you just got proven wrong by somebody who has a high school education. You realize this, right? Like, you should probably cut me down after you prove me wrong, not before. But yeah, I thought I was talking to somebody and they were saying that you had a video and they saw somebody make a rebuttal to your video, and they saw it on another platform. So it must have went semi-viral to their standards of what they believe is, you know, anything that's emotionally like heightened and to them is like that gets them going emotionally. They'll think is a good video. They think that they're proving you wrong if they can have their empowerment struck.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people that can consciously, or any of them. I mean, if they do these videos that really get people ramped up and people get ramped up while watching them. And then because they get heightened, they feel like they're correct and that they're like, yes, you know, you're owning it. And it's just because that's, whereas you're calm. It's very difficult for people like us who don't get really emotional to really seem like we're owning anyone, but that's not why we do it. We're doing it to try and explain things in a way that people will understand better.
Exactly.
You know, so we're just a different type of platform. You are much more calm than I am. Sometimes I get a little more loud than you. I cannot imagine you loud. I don't know if I've seen any videos. You probably have some, but I just haven't seen them yet.
Oh, I can get loud if I so choose.
Yeah.
But there's no point to it. What's the point of getting loud and getting abrasive? Because you just lose your entire point, because the only thing people are going to focus on is the tone of your voice and not your actual words.
And they'll shut you right down right away. They'll shut you off. You know, they just stop listening.
Exactly. So that's why a lot of people who have actually nothing to say, they just get loud. and all people can relate to is just the inflection, the up and down and the tone of their voice. That's something familiar to them. So it's like, oh yeah, you're right. You're correct. They didn't hear a word you said.
Oh, exactly. Now you said you started with doing vlogging videos. Did you ever start with anything like Christian wise?
What did I start doing? I started doing just basic New Orleans video. That was my platform at first. And then I got goofy and started doing like spooky, scary stuff just because I love horror movies.
Okay. What's your favorite horror movie?
Oh God, Halloween.
Halloween? Myers. Okay. Mine is Rose Red, Stephen King.
I love Rose Red. Oh yeah. My goodness. That mini series is amazing. Yeah. I love Stephen King.
Yeah, he's
don't get me
ones.
Started. We could talk about Stephen King all hour.
I guess I'm sure the people want to get to know you more. Since I'm your first podcast, I get the first crack at this. What other things are you into?
I am so boring.
I think I'm boring, but we'll see. We'll see who's more boring.
That's a loaded question at this point in my life because I'm in a brand new city. So all the things that I used to enjoy, it looks so much different now. Things that I enjoy. I love going outside. I love going for long walks. Like I go for a long walk every morning, like 4 to 6 miles, depending on what time I wake up. I love going to the bookstore, even though I really shouldn't go to the bookstore.
You spend a lot of money?
I spend too much money and way too much time.
Yeah. I love, Barnes & Noble is expensive. We have some half price like bookstores and stuff like that. But yeah, I love bookstores as well.
There's a Second and Charles just across the lake from me. And that's bad. That's really bad. Everything's cheap, but I love going to the movies.
Oh, I'm a movie. Yep, me too. A theater as well. Plays and I love that kind of stuff. I used to do that when I was in high school.
Yeah, I studied film in college.
So. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So did you, I guess, in the days of people going to school and actually using what they learned in school, is that anything close to what you do, or did you go to school and use absolutely nothing of what you learned in college?
Oh, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
I think I was halfway through my degree and I realized I am not going to use this, but I enjoy the subject matter. I just stuck with it.
Okay.
Like a degree is a degree.
Yeah.
It looks good on a resume.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what they're for. That's it.
It's a placeholder. It just looks nice. You completed college. That's great. You complete things.
And how often do you get the power of authority argument brought to your attention?
What do you mean? Like, say that again?
How many times do you get the power of authority argument brought to your attention? Like, oh, you wouldn't know. Like, what authority do you have on this topic? Like, what a college degree do you have to say that you are correct?
Honestly, I don't think I have yet. That's why I haven't got.
Man, I get that all the time.
No, I was excited when I got my first pick me. So this, I guess, will be
the next one. I've never gotten that one. I get the white savior, though. Which doesn't make
sense.
Weird. To
it
me.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It's like I'm saying things that piss, the non-white people off. Well, how am I a savior? You think if I was a savior, I'd be trying to do things that make them happy.
I think because I show my sources a lot, so when I'm explaining something, I know people are going to just argue about it. Let me just show my sources while I'm talking. You can argue with Wikipedia when I'm done.
I never show sources. That's probably my problem because I typically don't talk about things with statistics. If I do, then I'll show the screenshot of the website or whatever. I don't like using statistics. And the reason why is because they're usually done from studies. Studies are very manipulative. I mean, you can leave out variables, little variables. It'll make a huge difference in the outcome. I hate studies. I really do. If you're gonna argue something, there's a study for this and somebody can find a study that shows you a complete opposite, then who's right? It's just a game, a chess game, and I hate it. So I try to stay out of those TikToks.
I don't mind. I like statistics. I like numbers. And I hate math, which makes no sense. But I like data. And I think if you're going to use statistics, you have to talk about, like you said, all the variables.
So, yeah, that's the hard part.
For instance, like when people talk about, the rate of Black people who get killed by cops. And they said, and compared to the population. Well, you can't compare to the population because not the entire population isn't having encounters with police officers. Yep. The entire population isn't getting arrested. You have to compare to the population of people who are actually having encounters with cops and who are actually getting arrested. And then when you look at the numbers there, you actually find that the rates are just about the same. Yep. So when people take statistic out of context, it turns people off.
And that's just it. Because they have statistics that are out of context, people believe it, And then when you do bring in those variables that are important, they just kind of dismiss it. And that's what I hate because I was doing that in the beginning. I was trying to bring in variables that they left out in their numbers. And you know, then they try to find flaws in mine, and it's just a pawn.
It's a mess.
You know? Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to explain things. If it makes sense, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So I try to do more of the why things happen, not necessarily like the numbers of what happens, and because it doesn't really explain anything, it just exactly. shows the results. So I try to explain more of like what makes people do these things. And of course I get a ton of backlash for that, because people don't like that I attack certain aspects of their, you know, emotions or their, the way they think, you know, because they like who they are and they don't want to change. And they exactly. feel like, yeah, they feel like if I'm attacking them personally, like, hey, you know, people like you are the reason why these things are happening. They're like, well, screw you, buddy. No, they're not.
People don't want to talk about the why, because if we talk about the why, that means we have to have a deeper conversation about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mekhiah Bryant, for instance, everyone wants to talk about the ending. What happened? She got shot. This is just mm-hmm. another example of, you know, Black people being shot by cops. But we have to talk about all the variables involved. The fact that she was in foster care. We have to talk about why she was there in the first place, how mm-hmm. she ended up there. We can't talk about preventing this from happening if we don't talk about everything. And that includes the why. But yep. people don't want to talk about the why, because when we talk about the why, that means we have to talk about accountability. That means we have to talk about our own sins, our own faults, where we've fallen short. People yep. don't want to admit I've done wrong.
Yeah. Or people like me are the reason why things happen. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's very difficult. I know I'm a broken record, right? I always talk about this and a lot of people disagree with me, but when I talk about the power of pride and how, that leads to all these things. People are like, no, pride is good. There's no reason why I can't be prideful in this, in the color of my skin. It's like, there's no reason you should be, you know, it's if nobody was, then nobody would hold that above anybody else. They wouldn't hold value in your skin above their skin, you know? So the reason that we do hold pride in our skin color is the reason why we have racism in the first place.
Right.
And, you know, and it's a very difficult thing to let go of. And the reasoning why is because that is kind of a placeholder for where love should be. You know, the reason why we're prideful in a lot of things is because we view ourselves as inferior in that certain aspect. And that's why when we do achieve something, we get excited because we thought we were inferior and then we found out we weren't. So it's like, yes, you know, so it's a really tricky emotion and it's a very powerful emotion. And it feels like it could very easily feel like it's like loving yourself, but it's not. It's just excitement. It's just, you know, exhilaration. It's just a very tricky emotion to work around. And it can be harmless.
Confused.
What's that?
I said, I think people get it confused. You know, they think
so.
Pride as in I'm proud of an accomplishment. Like, you know, it's one thing to be proud of yourself when you accomplish something. You know, you lost 20 pounds. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
That's something to have pride in. You worked hard. You did something amazing. Something you probably thought you couldn't do. But to be have pride in your skin color. I mean, for what?
Exactly.
What comes out of that? You're proud to be Black as opposed to what?
And the way I view it is like, if white people accomplish something in life, that doesn't mean I should be proud of white people. I could appreciate the people who did it, who right. accomplished it, but why should I be proud? I didn't do anything. You know, it's just this kind of mentality like, oh, you know, people who look like me did this. I am proud to be this because they were. It's like, well, what's the point in that? Just appreciate that they did this. You don't need to be proud. You didn't do anything yourself.
Right.
You know, you are a completely different human being than that person. Just because you share a similar physical trait doesn't mean you are that person or remote close to that person.
And that's part of that's the dirty side of the coin. Because mm-hmm. when we're talking about, I mean, I can't really talk about white pride. I don't know anything about that. But talking about Black pride, you know, we find ourselves being proud of our Blackness because of other Black people's accomplishments. But that other side of that coin is we tend to want to connect with Black people who've been through horrible things. That's why I feel like so many people are like harping on slavery and talking about 400 years of this and 400 years of that. 400 years of what? You're like 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, you get three square meals a day. You go mm-hmm. to public education. You have opportunities out your butt. What do you know about what other people have been through?
You know, and that's the difference between pride and love. If you love something, you're more willing to accept the good in people. You know, you wouldn't be constantly, well, white people did this to me. Whereas if you loved people in general or you were appreciative of people, you'd say, well, they also helped us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I try to explain this, like if you're a car guy, and you go to a car meet and you hold pride in like a certain brand, like if you're a Chevy guy, you're going to look at all the Fords that people are showing off, that spent all their money on and they spent all their time on. And you're going to be like, it's a Ford, you know, I like Chevy, you know, that's pride. Where you walk, if you're a car guy and you're appreciative of cars, you are just a car enthusiast, you're going to look at all the cars, you're going to see all the hard work everybody spent on those cars, and you're going to be like, wow, you guys, these are amazing. I don't care what brand they are, I don't care what you did to it, I don't care if I find it ugly, I appreciate the fact that you love this and that you did this. You know what I mean? That's the difference between pride and love. And people are, they're too prideful to, they create this bias in their head, and that bias keeps them thinking one way. They're going to keep thinking whatever they're prideful in is going to be the top, you know. And anything that competes with that is not going to be as good. It's going to be lesser than. And that's why we have racism, and that's why we have hate and greed and envy. I mean, so it's a very tricky emotion. The more prideful you are, the more dangerous you are.
Yes. Very.
Let me see here. I'm trying to think. Did you grow up in a Christian belief, or is that something that you kind of did yourself?
Kind of. So my mom is a Christian and a single parent home. And so I grew up going to church. It was probably about 9th or 10th grade. I decided I didn't believe in God anymore. And okay. She and I went at it over that. And so a youth pastor said, you got to let her go and let her figure it out on her own. So I stopped going to church, and I heard whoever that was. That's so cute.
Yeah, they're because of Mother's Day, they're having a picnic right now, so everybody's upstairs yelling.
Oh, so I started going back to church when I was in college, my freshman year of college. And it's kind of a strange story because I came into college as an atheist. I ended up making friends with these people on my hall. I didn't know until they brought me to this meeting that they were Christians. They said, oh, we're going to this off-campus thing. It's called 805, and then we're going to get hamburgers afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, food. Let's go. Cheap college food. I'm down. Let's go. I didn't ask what it was. I didn't
sound like
ask
me.
I didn't ask no questions. I didn't even inquire. I was just like, oh, we're going off campus. I love you people. I'll go wherever you go. And that's basically how it started. I went to the meeting. I realized they were Jesus freaks. I called my mom in a panic because at this point I can talk to my mom about how I feel about religion and we can have good conversations. So I'm telling mama, they're Christians. I don't know what to do. And she's like talking to me, calming me down. You know, if they're good people, then it's okay. You might learn something. But secretly she's like, yes.
get her.
So I like kind of distanced myself for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what? I miss people again. And so I started hanging out with them again, and I started going to church with them. They were confused because they're like, she doesn't even believe in God. She's coming to church. Okay. And they're like, yeah, we have a, you know, New Year's conference in Atlanta. You should come. And I'm like, sure. Still don't believe in God. I don't know why I'm going.
Wow. You actually took a trip?
Yeah, we went to Atlanta right before the Passion. Our conference was right before the Passion conference.
Okay.
And for me, it was just, I'm going to Atlanta with my favorite people on the planet. This is going to be a great time. Someone says something about a dance party, and Atlanta has great shopping, and they have the Coca-Cola factory. And then I get there, and then it's the loudest worship I've ever been in. And I'm in panic mode, and I'm thinking, okay, so I just got to figure out how to get to Amtrak. I just got to figure out how much the tickets are, and I can get back to Charlotte, and it's going to be good. And no one's going to be none the wiser. And I'm like, these people love me, and they're going to come looking for me. I can't go anywhere. So I stuck through the entire conference. I think the only thing I got out of it was a song that kind of planted a seed in my heart. And just stuck. Nothing else stuck with me but this one song. And I had this song on repeat for months. And it wasn't until April that I gave my life to Christ. And it was kind of random.
Okay.
It wasn't planned. It wasn't a friend who sat there with me leading me to Christ. We were in a prayer meeting that I had been to a couple times before. Didn't believe in God, but I was going. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like God finally just spoke to me in that moment, and I gave my life to Christ. But the funny part was, I didn't even know that's what I did. I just remember just sitting there praying and saying, God, I'm a sinner. I'm this, I'm that, the third. I need you in my life. I need you. And then later on, a friend said, Savannah, you gave your life to Christ. I'm like, that's what happened? They're like, yes. You want to have a Bible study? I'm like, sure. And that's it.
So that was it? That's what started it, and that was game over?
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, it's been an up and down. It's been a, that was what, 2006? It's been rough. It was a rough first couple of years as a Christian. Very rough.
So when you hear people complain about Christians on TikTok, what are your thoughts on that? Because in my opinion, there's a lot of Christians that just are way too adamant on pushing their beliefs on people. And I know that's very off-putting, and the very judgmental as well. I mean, I'm a Christian as well, but I'm more of a believer in, God gave us free will and we should live it out and not judge others and kind of let people make their own decisions and just try to guide them in good ways. And if they don't want to take it, then, that's on them.
When I see people who get mad at other, I get where they're coming from. I understand mm-hmm. it. I think the part that's frustrating for me is when I do see Christians who are very abrasive with their faith
mm-hmm.
and think that's going to turn people to Jesus. And it's not. It's the simple things. It's inviting people to lunch.
Yeah.
It's, not asking them deep questions when they decide they want to go to church. It's, hanging out with them and answering all their dumb questions, even when their dumb questions are absolutely rude and they know it. It's being there for them when they have highs and lows. It's mm-hmm. loving people. Mm-hmm. You want to reach an atheist, you got to love them and you got to feed them.
I have been to, there was a time when I was searching for a church. I just wanted to find one that connected with me. I wanted it to feel like home. And I went to probably a dozen different churches in the nearby cities where I lived. And a couple of them were televised, and they were the scariest churches I've ever been to in my life. You walk in there and there's just people like standing up, like speaking in tongues out loud. And all they're talking about is, if you're gay, you're going to hell. And I'm just like, what am I here for? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's very, very different from other churches. Every church kind of has a different experience, but I've had ones where, they're just playing music the whole time and they got beach balls flying around and everybody's, it's like a party going on, but they're singing like good songs and everybody's getting along. And, I almost connected better with that. And, the pastor gets up there and speaks from the Bible, but he makes it very relatable. So good churches are a good thing. It's just, there's so many bad ones out there that just give it such a bad name. And yeah. People, they soak that up and they go and they spread the same news that they're hearing or their same, style. And, before you know it, you got people that are claiming to be Christian shooting people, like, you're a sinner, pow, pow. Like, no, that's not.
No, that's not how this works.
No. Yeah, it is cool to see another. I'm glad you're a Christian because I can relate to you when I hear you talk about your content and stuff like that. And you're probably more involved than I am. You actually seem like you're involved with your church. I do not have one currently.
Well, actually, it's funny because I'm not as involved with my current church as I was.
So okay.
The church I was going to in Charlotte, I went to Elevation Church. I was there for almost 6 years before I moved. And I'd say maybe like the last two or three, I was heavily involved. I did youth ministry, heavily involved. Okay. High level of volunteering. I had a lot of access to people, to information. And then when I moved, it was like a breath of fresh air. Like I could breathe.
not so much responsibility,
no little kids gnawing at my feet wanting to talk and tell me their problems. I mean, I love my kids. I still get text messages, but it's like it was a nice break. So I haven't been super heavily involved in church since I moved, and it was a much needed break. I miss it. I miss volunteering. I miss serving. So, but I'm used to being more than a congregant, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You donate a lot more of your time to it than just somebody who just goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to help with the youth ministry as well. That was many years ago, but it was almost the same thing. You get a lot of these younger kids and they just want to have fun. And you got to, you know, I kind of had my own bad experiences. So I was just the perfect person to talk to them and be like, hey, man, stay straight. Don't be doing stupid stuff. And, you know, made a lot of friends, made a good influence on a lot of people, did some speeches. And so, yeah, I kind of miss it. But at the same time, you know, going to church all the time and having people just kind of lay on you with their stuff or fill your cup, you know, or, you know, you're constantly filling their cup. I should say, you know, you feel empty after a while. So it's, yeah, I miss it, but at the same time, I don't.
Okay. That's exactly it. So I said, do you miss it? I'm grateful for the time. I don't know if I miss it. I regret nothing.
Yeah,
but exactly. The season is over and I'm good with it.
So aside from that, if I were to go back to your TikToks, do you have any plans for social media as your future? Do you want to start a YouTube? Do you want to do anything further? Or you just want to keep doing what you're doing? And because, I mean, eventually you could probably start making some money.
That's so funny you should say that. I just had a conversation with my mom today. She's so funny. She said, are you getting paid? Are you making money? I'm like, no. No. And she's like, you need to get paid. If you're going to be speaking on stuff, you need to get paid. Her exact words were, if preachers are getting paid to preach, you can get paid to give your opinions. Don't give nothing away for free.
I was doing the creator fund, but then it seems like when you do the creator fund, they just are more willing to just stop you. And I'm not doing it this time. But
I recently rejoined the creator fund, not to make money, but I was hoping, well, maybe this will slow my views down and slow things down for a hot second. Didn't work. to breathe and figure out what is going on.
Yeah, I mean, you could always take some personal time, just like take a week off of TikTok. I've done that before. Just get rid of that toxicity, you know, just rejuvenate. I've tried.
Then I see something and I have to speak.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, if it's just my guilty pleasure or what, but I'll see a video and at work, I will ponder it all day and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go home and respond to this. Like, yeah, it's fun. Like, I love to do it, and that's a problem, because then it's hard not to. And there's just so many people that say things that are so ridiculous, and you're just like, God, I could just easily just talk about this and make it make sense.
Yeah, I enjoy TikTok. I want to keep doing TikTok. As far as plans for, like, future social media, I already have a YouTube channel. And you that do. Was kind of a, yeah, I have it, same name, same username. I keep it simple. And that was initially just to keep people updated on what's going on with me in New Orleans.
Okay. You know?
And then that was pretty much it. Like, just to keep people updated on my time here, family and friends. No one else really knew about it. It wasn't something like I heavily advertised. And then all of this happened and it's put me in a position where I have to think and I have to make decisions. So I've had people say, you don't have to decide anything. I was like, yes, I do. yes, I do. I have to make, because now it's in my face. There is an opportunity. I can either answer the door or I can walk away. A decision has to be made. So I think I uploaded a video today. Nothing crazy. It's really just me talking. It's me going to the beach and just talking about what this week has been like for me and kind of like what we're talking about now, like what's next. I'm considering a podcast. I have an account here on Anchor. So just for me to kind of play around with it and figure out what's what. Now, what I would talk about on a podcast, I have no idea.
That was the tricky thing for me as well. Basically, everybody was saying, you should start a podcast. You should start a podcast. I'm like, what would I talk about? And I was like, you know, maybe I'll talk to people. I'll kind of hear their perspective, no matter who they are, whatever they believe in, whatever. Just kind of hear why people believe what they believe, what has made them believe that, what has changed over time. And, you know, just kind of hear the world, you know, see what everybody, why they think differently, you know, kind of show the individuality and our uniqueness. And I try not to debate anybody on here, you know, as I don't see a point in doing that, because there's a specific time for debate and there's a time to listen. Yeah. So that's kind of what my podcast is for, is just to hear people out, you know. Other than that, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, people said, go do this. And I was like, all right. And that was it. Yeah. And now people are like, go start a YouTube. And I'm kind of in the same situation. I'm like, what would I do on there? I'm so used to making 1 minute videos. It's like, right. Can I turn this into something longer? Like I'm doing such a good job hitting it in a minute. Like, right. I could slow my videos down a little bit and discuss things a little bit better, maybe in videos and have, some props or whatever to show things. What I really like to do, I love acting. I had a big TikTok account before I got into the politics, and me and my kids would make funny videos all the time. We dress up, and I love cosplaying and stuff like that. So I was thinking of kind of doing that, and in the political sense, just kind of like having some fun with it, making some comedy skits, and then kind of doing what I do on TikTok right now, but do it on longer, videos. So that's what I'm going to try. So YouTube is my next step. I think if you joined YouTube and you started doing longer videos and better, longer, stronger explanations of things, you have such a hardcore following of people that are absolutely in love with you that they would just instantly follow, and you could start making money right away. So I definitely think that'd be a good step for you. YouTube, especially. Podcasting, you don't get so much money. I think like I added advertisements to this, and I think I'm at like $6. So it's been 2 months. So yeah, podcasting, I don't do it for the money. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's, but it's like, okay, everyone is waiting for me to say something and do something. And I'm like, I try to remember what I ate for breakfast, and you want me to talk for longer than 60 seconds?
Wait, you have the same problem as me? You have a terrible memory? Oh my God. I tell everybody I have the memory of a goldfish. I don't remember what I ate earlier this day. I can ponder shit all day long, but if I don't make a video about it, I will forget.
I have a terrible short term. I have great long term. Ask me what I did like 10, 15 years ago. I can give you an entire story. Now ask me what I ate for breakfast this morning. It may have been bacon. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a very, very terrible short-term memory as well. That's kind of weird. Maybe you are my sister. I don't know. I'm starting to see some similarities.
Yeah, like what's next? I've had a couple people ask me for radio interviews on Instagram. I haven't responded. I should probably do that. It's kind of rude of me to just not respond and pretend like I didn't see it. Apparently Not the Bee offered me a job. I don't know how serious that is, if they were just joking or not. I don't know.
What was that from?
Not the Bee. They love me, apparently. I don't know.
Not the Bee. I haven't heard of them.
I think it's like Babylon Bee, but not satire.
Okay.
And I really don't know. It's like, I also have a full-time job. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This was not the plan when I joined TikTok. The plan was just to watch videos and laugh until 3 o'clock in the morning. But no, I decided, hey, I'm going to make content. And then I decided, oh, I'm going to answer a question about the, because that's how this whole thing started. Somebody asked a question about Melanesians in the African diaspora, and I answered the question, and then somebody left a comment, and then I responded to it. And that was the door analogy. And then boom.
Okay. Yeah. That. Good Lord. Sorry about that. So I got divorced. I was kind of lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I took this mindset class that kind of helped me figure out me and to fall, to love myself. And it made me realize like you do things you want to do things you love. And I love talking about politics and things. And I'm like, maybe I'll just start a politics channel, on top of my regular channel. So I started it. And, ever since I've been kind of like ambitiously just trying to do what I've always loved and be me. And so this has kind of been my little journey, and I want to keep growing in it. I have a full-time job and everything. And I'm like, that's the safe way. That's the safe road. I could just keep that job and be fine. But do I love it? Is it something that I thoroughly enjoy? I mean, if I could actually make a career out of talking and just giving my perspective, I would be happy. I would love that, So that's where I'm stuck right now, is I want to make this something more. I'm just not there yet. People aren't ready for me, apparently. But I'm trying.
That's basically it. Yeah. I don't know what that. Everyone's like, what's next? What are you going to? I don't know. I just want to get through the weekend.
I would definitely talk to the Babylon Bee or the, kind of see what they're offering, or you know, kind of see more in detail what that's about? Because I mean, that might be a good stepping stone for you.
Oh no, I'm good.
She's like, no.
This has been a lot of attention, and I hate attention. I hate it.
But you're so good at it. You're so good at getting people's attention.
It's easy on TikTok. I can, even though I have like a lot of followers, I can pretend nobody watches. Mm-hmm. It's easy to just kind of like do a video, you know, upload it and then leave it alone and then go about my business and pretend like nobody's watching. I'm just saying my piece and just saying it out loud and that's it. But now it's like everyone's watching.
Yeah. I mean, doing things live might be a little more difficult. I know Cam Higby invited me to a discussion about a couple of shootings, and he said he invited you as well. And you're kind of like, I'm not, you know, too informed on that, so I'd rather pass. And I was like, I totally understand that. I mean, I was like watching videos before I hopped on a show. I was like, I don't want to sound like an idiot. I got to make sure I know what the hell I'm talking
about. Yeah. I remember when he invited me, because I was like, I'm not there yet.
So it's kind of the feeling I had. I was like, I think you're just shy. You know, it's just that being live and talking to people and, you know, being in the moment. I have a difficult time with that as well, because my mind it just operates differently. When I am on my own and there's no pressure, God, I can think of things like crazy and I can put things together and I feel like I'm brilliant when I'm by myself. But when you put me on the spot, then it's kind of like my mouth moves faster than my brain thinks sometimes. And
all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to be more like Jordan Peterson, where I just like calculate what I say and I will not talk unless I know exactly what I'm saying, because I don't want to mess up. I'm not good at that. I just let it stumble.
I don't know if I'm good at that. That's the problem. I've never done anything like this before. So even over the past couple of months, I'm learning all these new things about myself.
Yeah. And that's cool. It's a good journey to go through. It's kind of the same with me as well. You know, I went from a platform of just making funny videos to actually talking and, you know, telling people about me and what I believe in. It is a complete difference, you know? I definitely enjoy it. I never expected people to appreciate what I have to say or to agree with me. You know, I didn't I didn't care in the beginning. It's like, oh, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. But the fact there are people agreeing with me, it's like, wow, like I can't believe there's more people like that. And then of course there's a lot of people who disagree with me.
Yeah.
But that's fine. So I know you said you disagree with me on a few things. I'm just curious. I'm just curious what things I've said that you're like, not so much.
It was one thing. It was a couple months back when people were trying to say that Jesus would have been a liberal or Jesus would have been a socialist. I don't remember what it was you said exactly.
What I said was Jesus would have. So communism is just the idea that everybody operates in perfection. There's no emotion, basically. You know, we just take care of each other. We're not greedy. We're not envious. We just do things. We take care of each other. That's it. That's kind of the whole dream concept of communism, right?
Right.
It's obviously impossible. That will never happen because we are emotional people. But that's the dream of communism. And I said that's kind of where Jesus would be. He would want everybody just to take care of each other and to not be greedy or envious of each other. So I said he would have more of the communist mindset, but that he sees the best in people. You know, that's what he would want. So I said that's what he would strive for. But, you know, I don't – obviously, it's unachievable. You know, this isn't heaven. That would be more of like a heavenly thing than it would be an earthly thing with imperfect human beings. So that's what I said in my video, is basically that he would be a communist at heart, mm-hmm. but not like a government-controlled communism, you know, like what we would portray it as, more of an actual people are taking care of each other like they should be without trying to take from each other and to, you know. So that was kind of what I was trying to say about Jesus, that he'd be more of a communist in that aspect.
Yeah, I've always taken the position with Jesus, like he is not, because a lot of people say he would be a liberal if he was alive. Like Jesus would not be about the government's business.
No, he wouldn't be political at all.
Like, no, like, please read your Bible.
But yeah, that's if that makes sense. That's why I said that. It would be more along the people wanting to take care of each other in that aspect. There wouldn't be anybody trying to achieve more than what they needed. They wouldn't be trying to steal from each other. That would just be his at heart. He would be more of like that utopian communist type of person, you know? And there's a lot of humans or a lot of people who have that same viewpoint, but it's unachievable. And that's why I'm a capitalist, because capitalism is the best line of defense for the individual against those impurities. And I think everybody should be able to have those protections. Whereas communism, you can't, you know, you have no control, you have no power, and they can be easily manipulated, easily taken over. So I don't know. As far as him actually being into politics, I don't think he would be. He wouldn't care about the politics. He'd just follow the word and tell people to be the best in the grace of God, you know. And to just kind of, I know, just to follow what you're told, but at the same time, not hold any hate.
Definitely. I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah. So that's what I was trying to explain. It is hard to do that in a minute in a video to try and explain. Because I had a lot of people who were confronting me on that. And I knew that video was going to piss off a lot of Christians.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like, I wasn't pissed off. I was just like,
Yeah, like Jesus ain't no commie.
I get where you're coming from, but no, I don't know if I'm quite there with you, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's what he would want for us. He'd want us to have that natural commune type of mentality where we just want to take care of each other.
Yeah. But for the most part, you and I are on the same page on pretty much everything else.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. You tagged me in a couple of videos. You tagged me in one. Oh my God. I was like fangirling. She's like, you're like, he talks about this. You should go check out his page. He's like, me? Like, what? You sure it's me? Did you tag the wrong person? I don't know.
Fangirling. When all these people that I admire on TikTok started following me, I lost my mind. John Dawson, African hippie, African lioness, like all these people that I'm like been following for so long, who I admire so much, they're following me, and I'm like, I don't know how to handle this.
Yeah,
it's happening.
I'm just happy you followed me before you went famous, because I'm like, now I'm just that little guy. Yeah, Dawson is the only one that doesn't follow me. Araceli, I've been seeing a lot of her content, and I followed her because I like what she says in a lot of her videos. And just recently, I hopped in one of her lives because I followed her, and I didn't realize she followed me back. And she actually mentioned me in her live, and she's like, "Oh my God, Hippocrates, I love your content. I watch it all the time." I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even know you followed me back. I'm like, what? You know, so stuff like that is just so cool. The only issue I have is all these people like you. Like, I want to get you guys on my podcast, and I want to pick at you a little bit and find out more about you. And I can't DM anybody on TikTok, so I'm trying to get everybody to follow me on Insta. I'm like, hey, will you follow me on Insta so I can message you? And
yeah, you DM'd me a while ago, and I didn't even see it because I can only see like directly DMs of people that I follow. And I thought I'd followed you. So when you said you DM'd me on Instagram, I'm like, no, you didn't. I was like, oh, I don't follow him. My bad.
I was trying so hard. Actually, African hippie on here. I don't know if you listen to my podcast with her, but I was trying to get her to, like, hey man, go get Savvy to follow me on Instagram so I can message her. And she's like, okay, I'll do that. And it took a little while, but you are here, so it's all good. So
yeah, after everything that happened, I'm gonna be honest, I'm like, I can't say no anymore.
She can only avoid me for so long. I'm just gonna keep making videos. I was gonna almost do it in like a proposal, like, will you podcast with me and hold up like my computer or something. Somebody's like, you should do that, that'd be genius. And I'm like, yeah, but she didn't say yes to my last one yet, so I don't know. I can't take the rejection,
because people were sending me offers to do this, that, and the third, and I'm like, nah, Scott doesn't know it, but he's getting the first one.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it. I didn't know this was your first podcast, so that is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I've never done anything like this before. This is very, very new territory. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going on. I'm just riding the wave and hoping I don't drown.
you drowned? No. No, you are extremely intelligent and strong. Yeah, I don't see you drowned, and I see you overcoming any obstacle. So, and if it makes you feel better, I am new at this podcasting thing too. So it's just two noobs talking right now is all it
pretty
is.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Two people in a room don't know what they're doing. What could happen?
Exactly. Now, if I ever come to your state, you have to meet up with me, take me for some like crazy Cajun cooking. Show me the good places.
Oh,
I've never been there. I want to. I have friends, I consider family, very close, that moved to Louisiana for a short period of time, and they came back with the strongest freaking accent in the world. I'm like, how? You were there for a few years, and you come back, and they hung on to that accent for like a decade. It's like, how do you guys go to you were born and raised in my state, completely different than Louisiana. You go there for a couple months, and all of a sudden, you're speaking like you're a local.
Oh yeah, because I've been here for a year. There's certain words that I say differently that I didn't say before I moved, just because I hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I give it a couple years, my accent's going to change.
I mean, it was strong. I mean, they had like that deep Louisiana accent. I mean, it was like you don't sound as strong in the accent as what they did, and they weren't there probably as long as you were. So it's just funny how that works with some people. Some people could go somewhere and not have an accent at all, and some people get it like right away.
Yeah.
So do you like it there? Is that some place where you just want to? You're like, I'm good here. Like, this is where I'm planting down and gonna grow.
I could never move anywhere else. I'm so spoiled.
Really?
I love it. Yes. Oh my God. The culture. It's beautiful. The architecture. I mean, it's hot as all get out and I can't breathe, but I get past that. The food. Oh my gosh. I love escargot. I was raised on escargot. My grandmother used to make it for me when I was little. And normally escargot you can get at a French restaurant in Charlotte, but it's so expensive. But here, I can just walk half a mile down the street and I can get it as an appetizer for $13.
Man,
I get alligator whenever I want. Like, I can't go there. I can go to the specialty grocery store and get alligator meat. I can't do that anywhere else. And then fresh shrimp. There's fresh shrimp. It's fresh. They just caught it and they're selling it.
That is cool. I'm a wuss when it comes to spicy food. I was married to an Asian who tried to make spicy foods all the time, and I built up my tolerance.
I can't eat spicy food. I can't do it. No? I try, and it sucks.
I always picture the food there to just be spicy all the time.
Everything has a bit of a kick to it.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff is spicy. Everyone loves Tony's. Tony's is even too – I'm trying to, you know, train my palate so that we don't starve.
Yeah, I live in a dairy state, so everything here is just like, if you're not used to it here, you will get bound up so quick, because it is just ice cream, cheese, milk. I mean, there's just everything has dairy. I mean, we add cheese to everything.
Lactose intolerance dream.
Yeah, no, it's my girlfriend came here and she never had our fresh cheese curds before, and I was like, you got to try them, and they're really squeaky when you eat them because they're fresh, and she's not a cheese person. She lives in Massachusetts, and I tried their cheese there and it sucks. So she came here and she just got addicted to it. Like, she ate like the whole bag, like right away, got another bag, ate that all up. I mean, it was her first time coming here, that we weren't dating at the time. And she was bound up for like 2 weeks. I mean, she's like, oh my God, I had so much dairy there. You're not used to it. I'm so sorry. Oh yeah. Everything here is dairy. We have really good custard here. We have really good, our milk's really good. Our cheese is really good. So I'm spoiled by that. Now, when I go to other places and I try cheese, I'm like, oh, this sucks, you know, but Louisiana is definitely known for their Cajun style food. And I've never actually had authentic Cajun style food. So I would love to try that.
Yeah. I couldn't live anywhere else at this point.
That is cool. I'm a wuss when it comes to heat, though. I mean, I'm used to it. It gets as low as like 70 below zero here in the winter. So, I mean, it's.
No, I don't do that. That's for people who do that. And I don't.
Yeah, I hate it. But like, it just hit 82 degrees the other day here, and I was dying. I was like, oh my God, it's so hot. Like, I could have ran around naked and been okay. It was just way too hot for me. It was 82 degrees.
There are days in the summer here where it's like there's no point in showering. Why? Why bother?
You're just going to sweat.
You're just going to sweat and stink.
Yeah.
And it gets so hot sometimes it's you can't breathe. But there's always a breeze because we're right by the water. So
that's good. Yeah. And now I always have to sleep with a fan on, even if it's like 60 below zero. I still sleep with a fan on. Yeah.
My ceiling fan always stays on.
So are you on your own now? I know you had some roommates before, or are you?
I still have roommates. It was it's great. Honestly. I mean, there's two cats. One cat, she's kind of scared of me. I pick on her. I tell her she's racist. And then we have the other cat, Melon, who, my life revolves around her, even though she's not my cat.
Okay.
I have great roommates. I got a good deal. I live in the more affluent part of town.
Okay.
So the west of the French Quarter. And we're surrounded pretty much by like million-dollar mansions.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And we're paying like $500 a month per room. Where I'm at. It's like I couldn't say no.
It is super cheap in Wisconsin. You got a three-bedroom apartment. I had a three-bedroom apartment. I'm sorry, it was renting a three-bedroom house is what it was, with a two-car garage, and it was like $650 a month with a backyard. So I mean, it's super cheap to live here.
That's a studio apartment in most places.
Yeah. You know, it's just houses are super cheap here too. I mean, you're finding houses for anywhere from $60,000 to $120,000 for a 3 to 4 bedroom with a 2 bath with a, you know, 1 or 2 car garage. I mean, it is extremely cheap to live here. And that's one thing I love about it. And the taxes are cheap too. We're 5% tax. I was just in Chicago and it gets up to like 12% tax. I'm like, what? This is nuts. But yeah, I love it in Wisconsin. When it comes to, we have a lot of like really nice neighborhoods around here too, that you know, people will just buy houses here for the summertime because it doesn't get that hot. And then they'll like live down south for go down south for the winter. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of really cool places like that too. But yeah, definitely want to go to Louisiana someday. That's on my bucket list of things to do.
Come on down.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I love it.
Was going to say, so you're talking about that racist cat. When I got divorced, I was just an idiot and I bought a cat. I was like, okay, well, I don't have a wife anymore, so I'm going to get a cat. So I got a cat and I was still living with my ex-wife and my kids. We just didn't talk much. And so I got this cat and my kids absolutely loved it. And the cat loved me because I'm the one that took care of it. Well, then me and my ex-wife decided I was the one that was going to move out. So I moved out and I didn't take the cat with me because my kids really wanted the cat. So aww. Now whenever I go over there, the cat hates me. Like, what is this bullshit? Like it loves all you Asians, but the white guy comes over and like,
because you left the cat. You left me with all these children who don't leave me alone.
Oh, they love my kids. She loves my kids though. She does. My one daughter snuggles the crap out of her and she doesn't like her so much. But my son, she is just like on my son all the time, cuddling up with him. It is really cool. So it kind of, I shouldn't say it replaced me because that means my value go less when I can see I was replaced by a cat, but it kind of replaced me as far as like the snuggle bud. Cause my kids love to snuggle me whenever I was there, you know? Aww. So yeah. So I'm happy I got it at the same time. It is funny that it hates me. Damn racist cats. It
is. You.
Yeah. It's dark too. So we named her Chanel.
Our racist cat is Mia.
Mia?
Mm-hmm.
I named mine after, I'm a huge fragrance enthusiast. So I collect a lot of colognes and I'm big into perfumes and stuff. I don't wear perfumes, but like, you know, I know them. And so I love Chanel is one of my favorite brands for colognes. So I was like, I'm going to name it Chanel.
I don't know anything about that stuff. I don't wear makeup. I mean, I have makeup, but I don't use it.
I mean, if you don't care about it, why wear it? I mean, that's just extra crap you got to deal with every day.
Sometimes it's fun, but then I remember I don't like trying to figure out what my eyebrows are supposed to look like. So
I always say when people are like, what's your favorite thing about you? I go, my eyebrows. Like, they're the only thing on me that I feel is like perfect. Like, I don't have to change. I don't have to pluck them. They just look perfect. So I always tease people and they're like, oh, you're so good looking. I'm like, it's just my eyebrows. You like my eyebrows. That's all it is.
I say the same thing. They're like, why do you like your eyebrows? They're super thin. Exactly. It means I don't have to get my eyebrows waxed on the regular. I can go months and no one notices the difference.
And I'm blonde, so it just blends in too. You can't even tell. It's kind of a downfall, actually, because it almost looks like I don't have eyebrows. Well, Savannah, thank you so much for doing my podcast. I'm so honored that you chose me first. You are amazing. So many people look up to you and I look forward to seeing you grow and you will grow. I mean, like I said, I give it a few months and you're probably going to be at a million at least. Oh yeah. Yeah. Prepare for it, woman. You got it. So thank you so much. And we love you. Just have to tell you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for everything. It means
absolutely.
Because this gets lonely. It's being the black girl, odd girl out, it's lonely sometimes. So, but having a supportive mutual team with everyone. It means so much.
Oh, we'll always be there for you. That's a given. We got you.
Like, I have the coolest friends on TikTok. You don't even know.
It is a cool community that just is. Yeah, I've met some amazing people. I'm so happy that I got into TikTok, even though I was making fun of it before I ever got onto it.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, like, why would I want to join that childish, stupid thing? Look at you dancing. Like, what? Hell no. Now I'm on it. Like, I love this app. This is amazing.
It's on TikTok. You got to download TikTok.
Yeah.
I've become that person.
It sucks when I want to send somebody a video and they don't watch TikTok. Like, what's wrong with you? How can I send this to you? You don't even, how are you not in that app? You know?
Right.
Yeah, we're losers.
It happens.
Well, thank you, Savvy. You have a wonderful, just so you guys don't know, we're actually filming this on Mother's Day. So you have a wonderful rest of your Mother's Day and weekend. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.